hurt these fellows. You write them a letter. And you write them a letter and you say, would you tell me what the scriptures are? Where can I get a copy? You have the scriptures, and can I memorize scripture? There's a church in this country that doesn't ask somebody to turn to the scriptures or say, memorize a verse of scripture. Write the guy you have in mind, and can you send you a letter telling you where you can get the scripture and what scripture he reads, and I'll put that in the bulletin on the front page. And if I've lied about the guy, I'll apologize. Who's your sister? Are these revisions that come here, 20 or 30,000 number of things like this stuff right here? They're not stuff like denying the virgin birth, Luke 2:33. They're not stuff like denying the incarnation, 1 Timothy 3:16. They're not stuff like saying there are two gods, John 1:18. See these Bibles here? This NIV, the Nutty Idiots version, and the New Revised Scientific Vision, and the Reverse Standard Vice. You see those Edith Bibles right here? And that one right there, and that one in particular. You know what they say in John 1:18? They say, no man has seen God any time, the only begotten God, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Two gods. That's Arianism. That's Jehovah's Witness. No man has seen God at any, no man has seen God any time. The only begotten God hath declared him. Two of them. That's the Bible recommended by Bob Jones University. That's the one at the school, that's the one they recommend, that's the one they sold. They're still recommended. Now that's a revision. And when we talk about these revisions in the King James Bible, we're not talking about that kind of stuff at all. And when they give you that, you know what I tell them? I say, well, any revision of the King James Bible is 10 times as good as any revision in any other Bible. So it doesn't matter which one you have. And I've got a 1611 and a 1613, and I don't even know what the Gideon Bible is. I got the 1783. You say, which one is correct? All three of them. All three of them. Which one can you use? Any one of the three. Which one has mistakes in it? None of them. But the words don't match. We can prove that. I'll sound like a heretic for a while, but I don't want to talk about. Look at here. Holy men of God spake as the womb of the Holy Ghost. Right? All right, Brother Mike, you've been called to preach. And Lord, what about your congregation? He that ministers to you, does he minister the Spirit to you? Does he do it by the hearing of faith or the works of the law? Why do you say to Brother Michael, you're ministering to those folks, and you're ministering the Spirit to them? You're not laying hands on them, not getting signs of wonders. How are you ministering the Spirit to them? You know, I was out in the Baptist work for years and years, like Brother Gift is. I was out there for, maybe not as long as you've been there, I was out there 12 years. And, you know what I hate about the service? When people come out and shake your hand and tell you they got a blessing out of the service. Yeah. Just go me to death. But you know what you get for this preacher's guts out? I've done all kinds of work. Working out in my yard in the summer for 4 hours in that sun, and it's been hard as a preacher. And when you get through, you're just exhausted.
Yeah.
And nobody got saved. Yeah. Nice folks that they blink at you, like the people out. And they come around and say, sure, I'm blessed out of here. You think, yeah, who got saved? I just get better. Talking last night about God, that stuff happened in your life. The Lord's always hurt me, and not worse than people have hurt me. I'm praying for this to people. When people come by and I got a blessing, I want you all to grab, I just irritate a snot. I want to see people saved. Yeah. The biggest blessing I've had in this meeting, I had Sunday morning.
Yeah.
I like seeing them come down and get saved.
Yes.
And I'll stand down and shoot the bully all day after that. But when you preach out there and preach and come out, folks say, yes, oh man, sometimes. And one time the Lord told me a lesson. I went to a parallel preach, a little short preacher, shorter than I am, his name was Speech. Anyway, he got up and preached, and you know what happened? He met this preacher, and he just lost his wife. She had five kids. She was left with five kids. And she was up there in the operating room, they gave her the wrong number. And they just said the operation was a success, and downstairs in the waiting room, he and his kids were all praying, you know, they're answering prayer, they've been praying a long time, he's up there. And then some nurse got the wrong kind of blood to his dick. And he'd tell them about that thing. And right at that time, I've been going through some pretty rough trouble, and I'd listened to that thing, I thought myself, boy, that's something. And this guy had the victory, he's still in the ministry, gonna raise his kid by himself. Which I eventually had to do for 12 years. But I was sitting there hearing that stuff, and boy, I got such a blessing out of that. And that thing was all over us, and I'm going down and take that fellow's hand and thank him for that message. And the Lord says, hey. what you been doing? And I had to sit and think about it. And I sat there and thought to myself, well, I got a blessing. What did I get? What is it, you know? And I know now. I know now.
Amen.
When I get up here and talk, Brother Mike gets up here, Brother Marshall, the other fellow, Brother Colson, if we're prayed up and believe that book, there's a transaction that takes place in here and there.
Yeah.
There's something in the air. My boy said to me, he said, well, what if the Super Bowl was played in Pensacola? Would you go to the Super Bowl? He said, no, I wouldn't pay you 15 cents a go. Watch the video. He said, well, look, like this 5 blocks away. I said, if the Super Bowl was 5 blocks away, Bob Gray and Lester Olof were preaching 10 miles away, I'd go hear Olof and Gray. And they said, why? I said, I can't explain it to you. But there's something that happens when the Word of God is being preached and the power of the Spirit that nothing else can compete with.
Amen.
You go to a football game, you see something, that nothing happens to you.
Yeah.
What happened here?
Amen.
I know why that is now. Because the Lord hasn't quit. He hasn't quit breathing on the Word. He hasn't quit breathing on the people.
Amen.
There's a preacher that's done it more than 5 years that know what I'm going to say is true. You know it's true. There have been times when you spoke by inspiration. There are times when God put the words in your mouth and you wanted you to preach, and they weren't planned, and they weren't written down, and you don't know where they came from. And the preacher doesn't know that. But I don't believe that should be in the book. Old Ruffin believes in canonical inspiration. Yeah, I do. But it shouldn't be in the canon. In plain words, I believe all that God wants written is there.
Right.
Not what he gave us, but I'm sure of it. I'm dead certain of it. I've seen that over and over again. God isn't through with the King James Bible when the first comes out in 1611. They're taking it right along through. You know, he hadn't quit inspiring. You know what I've done? I've got up in a church like this and give him a testimony and here be a fellow out in the fifth row, real rough looking carrying. I think you pick out the roughest I can get. I like to preach there. And you can tell he'd been in the cookie jar. He had sin written all over him, boy. And I was giving him a testimony, and every couple of minutes I'd point a finger at him and say, let me tell you something, buddy. I get him like that. And every time I do that, he'd pull back the chair like that. I know it's the pastor sitting over there laughing. Every time I pointed at that guy and said, buddy, let me tell you something, he'd just get his stuff. I thought to myself, what is that guy thinking funny? But when all that thing had got through and after the meeting was over, he came around and he said, you know that fellow's name was you pointing at? And I said, no, he said, Buddy Kirby. Now, don't you know he could have sworn that pastor told on him? You know who told on him?
That's right.
But at one time, I was preaching a tent, a tent meeting in the winter. It was a small tent, cold, and had a coal stove there, and about 40 people in there, freezing to death. We were right in a big housing complex, and condominium had about 400 apartments in it, or however what you call them. And I was preaching away in the crucifixion. There's an illustration I always use there. I say it the same way every time. I say, you say so-and-so is a good woman, but she hadn't accepted Christ. She ain't a good woman. She's a bad woman. Yeah. So you say she's got a good heart. She's got a heart black as a spades. And I'm preaching that thing. And I say, and I said, you take that woman up. And I got this big apartment complex up here beside me. And I just haul a number out of it. I say, you take that woman up in an A24. They're ABC with, 20 numbers after them. And the woman was there. I've got 400 apartments up here with ABC and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 after them, and I picked the one she's in. She's unsaved. Really? Now, who does that? Don't you kid me. not an extrasensory perception of telepathy. That's the Lord.
Yeah.
And that stuff is the breath of God.
Amen.
I'm talking to you. Out of my mouth, I'm talking. One of three spirits comes out of my mouth. That's the breath. Wind. Spirit. That's what the Lord is doing. Pneumatics. Pneumatic drill. Compressed air. Hot air. I'm up here. I open my mouth like this, and what comes out? If it's from the Lord, it's the Holy Spirit. If it's from the devil, it's an unclean spirit. And if it's me, it's the spirit of man. It's one and three. And we talked about this revision of King James coming along here. We're talking about the Holy Spirit that gave life to that book. Believe on it. He preserves it. And he preserves it in the form he wants to have. And any one of those will do the job. One more. If you can get laid here, one more question. Got time? One more. Want to go now? Token of the woman's virginity.
Yeah, what is that?
That's the bed sheet, the honeymoon, the marriage night. You should have blood on it.
I've never
heard. That's the answer. If you're not a taker for granted, you're not a virgin, you should be stoned. You're being a harlot. America, remember, this was talk about keeping the law. You have no idea what's involved in keeping the law.
Yeah.
If you cuss your mom and daddy, you're dead meat.
That's right.
Capital punishment is for cussing mom and daddy or slapping mom and daddy.
Yeah.
I'll close and give you a good passage. Deuteronomy 21. I'll give you this one right next to it. Deuteronomy 21. Boy, if you have people all over, the crime rate should be down.
Yeah.
21 verse 18. Like I said, I preach in prison. And my prison ministry was something else. I've had a coming there 9 years old in Orange, Virginia, boy. 9 years old. 9 years old. Killed mama.
Yep.
The police come in, the kids sit there saying, mama, get up. Mama, talk to me. Mama, what's wrong? Mama, you're sick. You know, they don't know what to do. Watching television, living a dream world. They don't realize they killed somebody. I'll preach in a prison for 2 weeks where you can't get in there unless you have three felonies before you're 13.
Yep.
Before you're 13. Not misdemeanors. Felonies. Felonies. Before you're 13. I had three of me when I was 17. Well, that was some kind of a record, but I couldn't keep up this young. You got to have three of that before you're 13. They caught me one night with bootleg liquor crossing the state line, a stolen car, and statutory kidnapping. Boy, I had it. I'm just dice and loaded. Having done for that being a colonel and having some influence and underage, I've been stacked away with the rest of them. But you take the juvenile delinquents stuff in this country here, it's indescribable.
Yeah.
But it comes from not discipline.
Right.
I'm preaching a maximum security in Texas. I've got 5,000 prisoners. Warden says, we can't do anything with these men. I said, why not? He said, they've never known pain. You can't scare a fellow unless you make him hurt. You know what you fellows are afraid of? Pain. You have been punched in the mouth, or socked in the nose, or kicked in the tail end, or burned, you don't have good sense. That'll give you an element of caution. You make a child that's never been slapped, or a boy or girl that's never been spanked, or a teenager never been kicked in the tail end, or a fellow in the army who's never been hit in the stomach, or kicked in the tail end, never been out the hill of pains. Because the only thing you're afraid of is pain. You can't make a fellow hurt, you can't. Some guys you can't scare them. Some of you can't scare them in front of pain. When the pain starts, you get some results. I guarantee if you saw how the public whipping post, you'd see the crime rate go way down.
Oh, yes.
Now, watch this. Deuteronomy 21:18. If a man have a stubborn and rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father or his mother, and when you chasten him, he won't harm him. He got a spank, he got a whipping, didn't listen. Then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him and bring him to the elder of the city, to the gate of the city, and they shall stand, say to the elder of the city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious, will not obey our voice. He's a glutton, eats too much, and a drunkard, mess around with liquor, and all the men of the city shall stone him with stone that he die. Capital punishment for not paying him on the bed. That's the heavy stuff. All right, brother. Mike's coming here.
Let's go ahead and stand and sing. Sing wonderful words of life. Number 363. Saturday night, we've already run the gamut. Sunday morning, we had 12 or 14 people saved.
Amen.
And now this.
Amen.
And now this. So you're getting a little bit of everything. And I hope you're getting what you need. Now, we believe the King James Bible, and we believe the words in the King James Bible. And there aren't many others around here that do, right in this area here. There are a couple, thankfully. I think Brother Cook does out in Caldwell. And Brother Tony Van Manen on the other side of town, we're supporting him. And there's another fellow that moved into the area, Cunningham, and he's actually holding services out at Idaho Ice World. And I believe he's a King James, cover to cover and so forth and so on. And I'm glad for that. In fact, we've got some of our people in some of those churches, especially the two new ones that are starting up. And they want to go there and help those guys out. That's fine. That's good. We need more Bible-believing churches all around the country.
Amen.
I'm especially glad to see a couple more around here. You say, why is that? Because when you get mad at me, at least you got somewhere to go.
There's
nothing worse than having somebody sitting in church while you're trying to preach to him, and he hates your guts. And he's, you know, he picks up the paper every morning, he reads the obituaries, and he's looking for your picture. The other good thing is that when I get mad at you, there's somewhere for you to go. And up there in Lewiston, Clarkston area, 60,000 people. Folks, Brother Bircher and I investigated that area with a fine-tooth comb. There isn't even an independent fundamental Baptist church up there, not a real independent one. And so he's going up there to start one. Bible believing, King James, the words, W-O-R-D-S. Is what he believes. We've got a couple of our families heading up there with him in time, and probably some more to come, and praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We need more Bible-believing churches all around this country.
That's right.
They believe the words, W-O-R-D-S. That's what they believe. And if you're here and you're visiting and you're local in the area and you're looking for a church like that, then you've come to the right place. If you're looking for something else, go somewhere else. You can find us about anything else you want. But we believe the words, W-O-R-D-S, in this King James Bible. And we're not ashamed of that. And we know that that makes us look stupid in the eyes of some people. Fine. Fine. Life's too short to worry about that stuff.
Amen.
Who cares? Somebody thinks you're stupid. Who cares? Somebody think you're stupid anyway. Anybody here, someone doesn't think they're, you know, someone doesn't think you're stupid. Anybody here that hasn't proved it?
Yeah.
A couple real quick things before we break for food. I know we've been a long time, but there are a couple little details I need to clear with you. Number one, if you got any questions about the activities, see Brother Mitchell or see Chad Wells, and they've got all the pertinent information. There's also a list of whoever is leading what activities, and that is posted near the pavilion. So those of you that want to play softball or volleyball or whatever the case may be, that is all posted on the pavilion. Brother Mitchell, Chad Wells know about all that. Also, we are going to need some able-bodied men to make themselves available in the gym at 10 tonight. So for those of you that are sticking around, you'll be watching the fireworks, you're going to be here till 10 o'clock anyways. We need some able-bodied men to set up tables and chairs. And if you have any questions, see Dwayne Patton. Where's Dwayne? Dwayne, where are you at? All right, he's probably out taking care of something over there in the gym. All right, a couple of other things real quickly. Folks, we're going to break here in just a moment. We're going to eat. Parents, supervise your kids. Please supervise your kids. We believe we're going to have plenty of food, but watch what they take. Don't have the kid pile a plate so big he can't eat half of it. My mom taught me, and she was a lost Catholic at the time, but I still believe it's true. It's a sin to waste food. There's people starving, and I can't stand seeing food get thrown away. There's going to be plenty for everybody, but supervise the kids, and please make sure that they're polite and they don't go running some old person over to get into the line in front of them, that type of thing. And let's behave like Christians as we approach the dinner table. We do have some ushers out on the grounds that if you have a question about where something is or what's going on the rest of the day, Rick Yarno, Mark Bryant, Jack Madden, and Brother Rick Schwarr, you can run them down. And as soon as we're done here, get all of your stuff out. Don't leave a purse. Don't leave your shoes or anything else here. or something, you have to come back into this building. As soon as we get everybody out here and start eating, this building will be locked down completely, and there will be no exceptions to the rule. There are bathroom facilities and such in the gym area. Also, the upstairs section of the two-story will be locked down as well. There's a section downstairs that will be left open for leftover food, but we can't have everybody running all over. What happens is kids get into some of these rooms and get real creative. All right. So be sure, as we leave, get all your stuff out of here, and there's plenty of room in the gym, the pavilion, and so forth and so on for whatever you need. The other thing real quickly is no fireworks. Zero, nada, none, niet. What is it in German? Nine, forget it, don't ask. No matches, no nothing. You say, why? All this along the interstate is a tinderbox.
Right. Yeah.
I do not want to make the papers tomorrow. Okay?
Well, my little Junior won't live if he can't light off his little snakes.
Take Junior home and light off all you want on your driveway. Do not pull out a matchbook here.
Amen.
And don't ask. And tell your kids not to ask. Because we're not doing it. We got neighbors that got all kinds of brown grass that tall. You get one match in there, one spark. Okay? And we're going to make the... I don't mind making the papers, but let's make it for the right reason. Next thing. A bunch of guys from the church and some of the gals have brought some of their classic cars, muscle cars, antique cars, all parked out in this area. If you like that kind of thing, go take a look. We ask you to do one thing, though. Don't touch. Don't touch. And you say, well, that's a little bit obsessive. Yes, it is. We are. We are obsessive. Some of you think that's idolatry. Probably. But remember this about idolaters. You defile their idol, you run the risk of physical harm. Right, Sam? So look all you want. Don't touch. That means don't put your hand on it. Don't get in it and watch your kids. And the kids are welcome to look at it too. But those are not carnival rides. Those are cars built when they were built the way God intended. So for those of you that have forgotten, and you know, and all you see anymore are plastic wedges run by a computer with a sewing machine under the hood. These things have engines with pistons like coffee cans. And they will... Oh, man. And if you think that's carnal, just cut a wide swath around it, and it'll give you somewhere to, it'll give you something to preach later on. Preach against me. A carnal preacher, you know, whatever you want to do. But anyways, they're there to enjoy. Just please don't touch them. Please watch the kids. All right, I believe we've covered everything. Brother Mitchell, lead us in a word of prayer over the food, and then you are dismissed, and stick around as long as you want. We got stuff going on all day.
Father, we thank you for giving us your words. God, help us as your people, God, to read and study and obey your words. And God, we just thank you for what you're doing in this meeting. We ask that you continue to bless. Lord, we pray for the food we're about to eat, that you might bless it as well, and we thank you for it. God, please bless the activities today. We pray for our young people, that they would all enjoy being around the house of God today. And just help us as Christians to enjoy one another's fellowship. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.